Good evening and welcome to El Oso Fumar Takes. I'm your host, Barry Duplessis, as always, and this is our 43rd take, if you can believe it or not. We are so excited to have you live from the Casa Cueva studios of Euless, Texas. Once again, I'm your host, Barry Duplessis, and this is our 43rd take, and I'm so excited to have this week's guest on. It's going to be a fantastic show. Really, really excited to talk to this gentleman. Really explore something really interesting. So this is a take that I think that is a story that we may sound familiar, but it's completely different. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome in Mr. Rainier Lorenzo of HVC Cigars. Rainier, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Oh, it's certainly my pleasure, Rainier. Certainly my pleasure. I've been it's so awesome to actually have you on. I've been a fan of your cigars for a long time, and they're some of the most really truly unique cigars out there. You know, there's a lot of that word gets thrown around a lot, but I think that there is a lot of familiarity, like your story. I'm kind of teasing here. Like your story, there's a lot of familiarity to the cigar, but there's something very unique to each and every single one of the cigars that you make. And I'm actually smoking the HVC Cero, the original, not the Maduro. You recently released
the
Maduro
line, yeah.
Yeah. And the Cero is actually named for the neighborhood that you grew up in Havana, Cuba, the El Cero neighborhood.
Yes, you're right.
For most people who don't know, you grew up in Havana. And now you grew up in Havana post-embargo.
Yes, correct.
So what's really interesting about this is that, you know, the story that we're familiar of hearing, you know, the Fuente, Padron, Plasencia, all these legendary families, they were unfortunately were forced to leave just after the embargo or just before, depending on the family and everything. But Rainier, as I recently found out, you're actually younger than me. So you grew up, you actually grew up in post-embargo Cuba in the 80s, the 90s, and everything in the El Cero neighborhood in Havana. So if you could, for the benefit of our listeners and viewers, could you tell us a little bit about what it was like to grow up in Cuba in the 80s and 90s?
You know, I'm born in 1984, and I grew up in Havana, and it was great. Havana, to me, is a quite special place, unique city. People are really happy, really familiar with you. It was great, a wonderful time. But at the same time, you have the socially communist part that don't have nothing to do with what we do here today. And that was quite of the part that, you know, you grew up there, happy, family's there, everything is fine. But at some point, you want to do a little more and you don't have that opportunity there. So simple as that.
So what did your parents do for a living?
Yes, my family was there. My mom actually was a principal at school for over 40 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. And my sister and my brother were doctors there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And actually me, I went to medical school for 1 year there in Havana because remember I left Cuba in 2008. So okay. And I was in medical school in 2007. I went just for 1 year.
Okay. Wow, that's really okay. So you were gonna follow in your siblings' footsteps and become a doctor. You go into medical school. What was the epiphany? What was the moment that you were like, this isn't for me?
No, it's not like you even know that I work from here, so my family was living here in the US already.
Okay.
I don't know if you don't know, it's called between U.S. government and Cuban, it's called familial unification. Mm-hmm. Like if your family are American citizens, they allow you to come over without problem. So that's how they get it. So they give me a call. They say, hey, you got to decide. I mean, if you want it, you can stay there or you can come here and join us. And that's basically what happened. Just I left there in 2008 without problem. Everything was fine.
Fantastic. So that's a lot, you know, a lot different than, you know, the stories that we hear about, you know, people leaving in the 60s, the late 50s, the 60s, and the, you know, even into the 70s. being a little bit easier for you. What was it like to, so when you first got to the United States, were you planning on going to medical school here, or was that dream kind of, you know, was that all in the past?
Actually, when I came here, I moved to Wisconsin and I was living there for 7 years. You know, I am a Packers fan.
Go Packers. They're my team, man. So
yeah, I am a big Packers fan too, because I was living there for 7 years and I was working there for a genetics company.
Interesting. Okay. So what, were you doing? Were you doing research for them, selling?
Yes,
what were you doing?
No. In the end, I was doing research, but in the beginning, we were doing separate X and Ys with the sperms of the bulls there. It's a huge company. It's called Sexy Technology. They are the only company in the world that can do that. Yeah.
Wow. So not only do I have tremendous amount of respect for you for what you do here, now I have to respect you because you're like 20 times smarter than me. So that's fantastic. That's really interesting. I mean, so you're working in genetics, you're working in a lab, you know, you've got this you got this medical background, you know, albeit just 1 year in medical school, but you know, you've got this great scientific background. Like, so what was the moment, man? How did HVC come to pass?
That was all about my family. You know, even my family, I always saw people, you know, like I'm Cuban and people always, when I travel all around the United States, people see my family was in the cigar business. No, my family never in Cuba, we were in the cigar business. So we were in the cigar business here in the US. So my family has been working for Casa Fernandez for Aganor Salif for almost 20 years now.
Okay.
So that's how really I get involved in the tobacco business. So I remember in the end of 2009, Eduardo Fernandez, the owner of Aganor Salif, he invited me actually to go to Nicaragua and show me all the stuff that he have over there, the cows, the pigs, and also the tobacco. And when he was explaining me every step of the tobacco, I just fell in love with it. And that was, I say, in the end of 2009, and the beginning of 2011, that's when I started HVC.
Right.
At the same time, I was working for the genetics company, right? Because I quit 3 years ago. That's when I really started doing full-time the HVC, 3 years ago.
Before, so between was, you, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish. Go
because
ahead.
Before I was, you know, I was doing my full-time job and HVC was quite my part-time job. And my time off, I was visiting cigar shops in Chicago, Wisconsin, Indiana, even fly here to Miami, see a couple of people down here in Miami and Texas as well. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, you know, the business was growing. Tobacco is free from itself. So great tobacco, great blends. And I say, you know what? This is what I want to do. And let's start doing this full time.
So when did you go full time again? 2015?
15.
2015. Yes. So that was the year we started carrying your cigars at the local retail shop that I work here in Texas. So at Michael's Tobacco, we started carrying your stuff in 2015. And I got it. It's so funny just hearing your story and where you were still. So you were still working part time for the genetics company. I said between
no,
you and
working full time.
Working full time. So this was your part time job.
Company, yes.
Wow. Man, that's incredible. So between you and Omar DeFrias, who worked at NASA, you know, I mean, you guys could probably literally take over the world.
I remember when I was a little kid back there in Havana, I always wanted, how do you say, I don't know how do you say the word right, in entrepreneur?
Entrepreneur, yeah. No, that's, yeah.
Entrepreneur, yes. I got that dream, so always I wanted to do quite something different. You need them now. I'm living the dream. Just working for myself, getting out there, meeting people. That's all about it.
Making incredible cigars, you know.
I mean, can't go wrong with. I mean, I got lots of tobacco right now. Me personally, it's the best tobacco right there growing there in Nicaragua. That's my quite personal opinion. The tobacco this guy is growing right now is quite unique, and the blends we putting together is unbelievable.
You know, it's really it's really interesting the trends that we see in this business, you know, from time to time, you know, different. And you know, I was talking last week with Mo Molly of Patina Cigars, and he was saying how when he was originally getting together with Mbacha to create his brand. He didn't want to create anything trendy. And I thought that was a really good point. And what's really interesting about the trend right now is that, you know, there are a lot of good brand owners, CEOs, and founders of companies that are really getting hands-on with their blends. The brand, there are, don't get me wrong, there's still great brand owners out there that really aren't terribly involved with the blending and stuff like that. But a lot more and more, we're seeing brand owners and people getting their hands dirty, you know, so to speak, and really getting in with the tobacco and everything.
I think if you are really passionate about it, what you do, think about, like, for a moment, just forget about cigars right now. Think about if you have a restaurant or if you have all the business, you have to be really involved if you're really loving what you're doing. And that's what we're doing right now. I mean, we really love what we're doing. We're passionate about it. That's why we out there. I mean, I'm traveling to Nicaragua every almost 2-3 months out there, see the tobacco in the fields, see the real guys at La Galera. So it's a really personal sense.
Right. So you've got the history with Casa Fernandez or Aganorsa Leaf. You know, your family's been involved with them for a couple of decades. So that was obviously the entrance, the relationship with Eduardo and everything really kind of got you in the door and everything. But if you could narrow it down to one thing, what is it about your relationship with them that really, really defines what HVC Cigars is about?
I mean, I think it's really about personal my history, and it's about personal what I can bring something different from everybody else in the business. Because I mean, they make great cigar for Illusions, they make great cigar for Warp, they make cigar for Melillo. Me personal, I put in a little different touch, even in different blends, every time we came out with something new over there. Because it's unbelievable. Sometimes people don't have idea how many blends you can create with the same tobacco.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. I mean, you can put a less ligero, a little more of the viso, put a disseco. Even you switch from farms to farms. Even the tobacco from years to years is completely different. So sometimes people think like, no, how can we adjust the blend to be consistent every year? But remember, the climate can change. And you can have the different harvests every year. So that's how you get really involved in the process and you can put it, your personal touch. And the other thing is your palate. Some people sometimes, remember, you have a unique palate, right? And myself, I think I have a quite unique palate as well. Because it's like, when I say this too many times in every cigar shop that I visit around the United States, and I always talk to people like, sometimes I think I'm wrong because I don't blame for people. I blame for myself.
But I think that allows you, I think that kind of goes into what I was saying, that allows you to create a cigar that is familiar in certain facets, but just that one little thing, you know, like you said, just take out a little bit of the hero, put in some more viso, you know, or, you know, changing a wrapper and adding it as a binder or something like that. Just that one little tweak, that one little change that makes it perfect for you is what truly makes it a unique cigar. And, go ahead,
and
please.
The other thing, usually I always looking for to satisfy my palate. You know, even the great tobacco that Aganorsa Leaf growing, and you always want to have something different. Like I always think about, we have in the business like 7 years almost already. We start from 2011, and look at how many lines we have. We are not that crazy company that we have thousands and like that. That's not us. Every time I want to make sure I put a cigar out there, has to be completely different from what I have in my portfolio, right?
Right.
So, for example, you see the zero one that you're smoking. It's a Corojo 99 right there while you're smoking the wrapper. And it's a really fine combination between Esteli and Jalapa. But now, if you can start smoking the San Isidro with a barrel wrapper, it's completely 100%. Even you got almost 75 or 80% of the tobacco from Aganorsa because the other part takes to the wrapper. It's completely different cigar, completely different profile.
So as you're well aware of, Rainier, we do this picks of the month program at the retail shop that I work at, and you know, each staff member selects their pick of the month, and we talk about it and everything. And I told you this the last time we met, but I love to share with everybody. So the San Isidro, your blend, has by far been selected as a pick of the month by several staff people over the course of the year. So we're going into our third year of the picks of the month program, and by far, I'm not going to tell the number because I think it's a rather embarrassing, the difference between first and second place, but the San Isidro has been selected more times than any other cigar in our shop. And I think that's a testament to the uniqueness of the blend and how really fantastic it is, because it is not only satisfies a diverse group of staff members at a shop, but it satisfies it to the degree that they're willing to put their name behind it as saying, hey, this is a cigar you have to check out if you haven't checked it out before. And it's really one of those terrific blends. Speaking of different blends, now this is something really exciting that you came out with at this year's IPCPR trade show. So you are releasing a Connecticut broadleaf cigar, for Connecticut broadleaf wrap cigar. Now, this isn't crazy, and it's not outlandish. A lot of companies have Connecticut broadleaf, except for there's one small distinction. HVC cigars which are made at Aganorsa Leaf in Nicaragua. Aganorsa Leaf has never, that's a big word, never produced, at least for the market, has never produced for a market a Connecticut broadleaf wrap cigar, and they're doing it for you. So what, I mean, so that's, I was, how does that make you feel? Like what's like, it's got to be pretty.
Actually, that was something that was in the back of my mind for quite probably more than 2 years. I said, I want to come out with a Connecticut broadleaf. You know, there's a lot of people out there that live Connecticut broadleaf in the market. It's incredible, all the Connecticut broadleaf. But I said, well, how can I come out with something completely different and quite unique? And actually, the broadleaf that we're using is a Biso.
Really?
Yes, it's okay. It's a Biso wrapper, Connecticut broadleaf. And the other thing, I can't wait for the cigar to hit the market and really decide about the project. It's only 500 boxes, you know, it's only 500 boxes.
Yeah, it's a limited run.
It's a limited run. Two sizes in the same box. We got Choro Robusto and we have Toro. And the other thing, the cigar is not heavy at all.
With the Viso, the strength is lower.
Yes, it is. It is. It's quite, to me, it's quite a medium full, or can be a medium plus, but it's a quite finesse broadleaf that you're smoking, quite different from what I have been smoking myself for the rest of the market. I'm really excited about, I want to hear what people say when the cigar hit the market and just, hopefully they share with me what we did there. And actually the tobacco that we put inside, I was really picky when I was down there selecting the tobacco with our team over there. You know, we, Eduardo, Max, Jacinto, all these guys with a lot of knowledge and tobacco. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Actually, probably I think next week we're going to start shipping them.
Next week, fantastic! Yeah, yes. I didn't know when it was going to be. That's wonderful news for everyone watching. That's really exciting, guys. You need to check this cigar out. I was fortunate enough to smoke it at the show. I didn't want to spoil it too much. I didn't want to smoke. I have another one that you gave me, Rainier, and I didn't want to smoke it on air because I didn't want to. If it was still a couple months out from being released, I didn't want to spoil people's too fun. I should have in hindsight, though. But it's a great cigar, everyone. So check it out. It's a broadleaf cigar, first and only broadleaf cigar released to the market from Aganoris Leaf for HVC cigars. And so there's another cigar that you're releasing. It's your limited edition 2018. Okay. So this is a
That's not a limited edition. That's a special edition 2018.
Special remember, edition 2000.
We have a special edition 2015. That's Maduro San Andres, right?
Right, right.
That's yes, a regular production. Sometimes people get confused between limited edition and special edition.
Okay, okay.
Right? So right. Why special edition? Because we use tobacco from two farms. One in Jalapa and one in Esteli. That's what we call the tobacco special edition.
Well, fantastic. So the special edition 2018.
Now, Corojo 99.
Yes. So this cigar has got a very... very special designation, and I told you this at the show when we met up at your booth, and this is some high praise, man. This is some high praise. The owner of the cigar shop that I work for, Mike Peacock, Michael's Tobacco of Euless, he said that is probably the best cigar he's ever smoked. his reaction.
I was really surprised. He came to my booth at the show and he said, Lorenzo, basically got a half a smoker so far here at the show. This is incredible. And he surprised me, you know, because he's not that guy.
No, he's
you know
not.
What I mean, he's not that guy. He's the guy quiet, always talk what he say, and he don't say that kind of words. And I take for granted when it comes from him. So I say, oh, wow, thank you so much. I appreciate you a lot.
No, when this guy tells you you have a good cigar, like you do backflips. Like when he says, "Hey, that's a good cigar," you do backflips because that just like to everyone else, that's going to blow away. He's just a very incredibly dignified man with incredible reserve, and just you know a man of few words, and that's all it takes. You know, he's just one of those gentlemen. I love working for him. He's a fantastic guy, really well respected in the industry as a retailer. He was on the IPCPR board. And he's also got a great palate too. And so if he tells you have a good cigar, it's pretty awesome. When he tells you that's the best cigar of the show, I mean, that's pretty awesome, man. I mean, that's a compliment on top of that is a huge compliment on top of a compliment. And so tell us a little bit about that project. You said it's tobacco from two different farms.
That project actually started in 2015 because I say like every 3 years, we will release a special edition one, right?
Okay.
So we got one with the Maduro and we got one with the Corojo 2018. So this one haven't hit the market yet, right? So we got three sizes, same size that we have in the 2015. It's Toro Corona and Toro Gordo. And the next one will be in 2021.
Wonderful. Can't wait to see that one too.
That will be the next one. And this one I'm really excited because it's like, actually, the cigar is quite medium full body for the Corojo line that we have. So medium full body cigar, quite like, not really, you see like sometimes you feel like the spicy one in your mouth. Mm-hmm. This one is a little more mellow.
Okay.
I would like to say like that, more mellow, got sweetness into it, a lot of sweetness to it. Actually, I don't know if you noticed that, not for sure you smoke HVC, it's like, me personally, like really looking for sweetness in the cigars.
I noticed
something that 75 like in my blends. I'm looking for sweetness. It's something that goes with my palate.
I do notice quite a bit of sweetness in some of your cigars. In particular, like the Cerro lines, both the Maduro and the original release, I really pick up a really, really nice citrus note in both cigars. Now, it's much more subdued in the Maduro, obviously, because of the more robust leaf, but it's just it's a touch, and it's really, to me, it really adds balance to the cigar, and gives it that kind of that unique flavor and everything. So it's interesting about the Cerro Rainier. This cigar, I loved the 2015 special edition. Loved that cigar from the very first second I smoked it. That was a phenomenal smoke. I loved it. This cigar actually took me a little bit. It kind of grew on me, and I smoked it the first time and it's like, okay. Smoked it again. And then I was like, there's something there. And so I smoked it a third. And I normally, after a third cigar, I'm usually able to tell if I like the cigar, what I like about it, you know, I can, you know, kind of wax philosophical about it. But it took me about fourth or fifth cigar of the Cerro to really pinpoint what I was really enjoying about it. I knew I liked it from the second one, and I was trying to find what I was really liking about it. And it took me about to the fifth Cerro that I ever smoked to really kind of pinpoint what I really like about it. And it was that kind of that balance that I was talking about. And that's what I'm talking about with the uniqueness of your cigars is it has a lot of familiarity to them. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse by saying the same thing over and over again, but there are familiar components to it. Like people will light up your cigar and they'll be like, I remember that from, you know, X or Y, or I remember that from a cigar I had a couple weeks ago and something else. But then something else hits them and it's completely different, taking it in a completely different direction, which makes it truly unique. And it's they're phenomenal, man. They're absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, and actually, the HBC Cerro was the first time we got Radiant Cigar Aficionado a couple months ago.
That had been really exciting for you. I mean, I've heard brand owners tell me everything from, oh, it's not that big of a deal, to, oh, it's a great big deal. What was your reaction when you got a Radiant Cigar Aficionado?
Yeah, actually, I was really excited. I think I was in Nicaragua by the time. And Terrence from Aganol Salif, he sent me a text and say, hey, do you see? And the cigar first came and Cigar Insider. Say, hey, do you see the Cerro Lions out there? I say, what do you mean the Cerro Lions out there? I say, oh, no, let me check. And they give you the night, and I was actually really happy about it. Yeah, it's out there first time for a small company like us to be out there. It was great. And actually, Cigar came in the next magazine down there, and wow. Surprised me.
I mean, that was really exciting for me. Anytime that I, you know, a boutique line that I, or a smaller line that I'm familiar with kind of gets a rating, it's exciting for me. And like I said, I've heard so many different reactions from people, like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, to like, oh my God, it's the it's like Christmas or whatever. So I like hearing people's reaction to it. So you were down in Nicaragua and Terrence told you about it. That's really fantastic. On a regular day, as you're, you know, on any, you know, any given day or anything, what's the cigar, what's the HVC that you start your day off with?
I mean, that really depends on what kind of move I am for. Like, believe or not, can be anyone. Like, I can say, like, I can go, for example, right now I am smoking a Rosa 520 Favoritos. The last one that we did, the last limited edition we did, or La Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cigar that I can enjoy any time of the day. I can smoke in the morning, smoking right now here, and it's almost 11 o'clock. And even the Pan Caliente as well. The Pan Caliente, I can wake up and go for the Pan Caliente. Yeah, that really depends on what kind of move I am.
Pan Caliente is such a fantastic little, like, I use it like it's a coffee break cigar for me. I think it's fantastic for just like with a quick cup of coffee and everything. Really, really fantastic blend that you do. I get the last question I'm going to close this out with, Rainier, and this is kind of a little bit different. So I wanted to ask you, so for, you know, a guy in 2007, so 11 years ago, in 2007, you're a medical student. Okay. And in 2018, you are now a cigar brand owner of a Cigar Aficionado rated cigar, one of the, you know, hottest brands right now on the market. People are talking about your manufacturer. People are talking about you. You got these two great cigars that are coming out that everyone's chatting about and just getting a lot of great play off it. So if you could go back in time and tell Rainier in 2007 one thing, what would you tell him?
Same thing. I would not change the same. You know?
Just stay the course, yes. Man. Do what you're going to do.
Stay the course. Yes. Believe me, stay the course. I'm really happy right now. I'm really happy. Tomorrow morning, I got to wake up like 4 in the morning, go to Chicago. We say I can't stay. I got a big event in Wisconsin on Friday. I like country cigars. And I will not change the thing. Yeah. I'm really happy what I'm doing. And you enjoy every moment. You know what I mean? Like every step you learn. Even now, you keep learning and learn everything. So, like, it's part of the life. I want to change that then.
That's fantastic. You know, I like about that question.
This is fun because right now, like you talk about that one. I'm living in Miami now, and I told people, "Hey, I am a Packers fan," and they say, "What do you mean you are a Packers fan?" I say, "Yes." I was living in Wisconsin for 7 years. Wait a second. What do you mean you from Havana to Wisconsin? that made that sound. You know, a Cuban guy in Wisconsin. Yeah.
What was your first winter like in Wisconsin? That's good.
Oh, it was. I remember it was in December of 2008. It was December. And the winter was, you know, every year it's cold, really cold.
Yeah, of course.
I remember it was like, you know what? I'm going to call my family and say, hey, this is not for me. But, you know, 23 years and really excited about what next and say, hey, let's stay here and see what happened. And I really enjoy it. Can't complain. I really enjoy living there.
That's fantastic, man. That's funny. I really like asking questions like that because that's an answer I honestly wasn't expecting. Because, you know, normally when you ask anybody, like, hey, if you could go back and talk to yourself 10 years ago, 9, you know, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever.
You're breaking off. What? You're breaking up. What do you say?
I really like asking that question because people come back with just such unique answers. And that's the first time I've honestly ever asked a question like that. You know, like, hey, if you could go back and talk to yourself, you know, a few years ago, what would you say? That anyone's ever told me, stay the course. I wouldn't change a thing. I love my, you know, that's really awesome. And it's indicative of the fact that, you know, you are living the dream. You are living what you have set, you know, what you're meant to do. You're doing what you're meant to do, man. And it's absolutely fantastic. So, Rainier, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was absolutely fantastic. I hope everyone enjoyed hearing Rainier's story. Go out, try some of HVC cigars. They've got some fantastic blends from the Cerro, the Cerro Maduro, the San Isidro, which is a fan favorite at Michael's Tobacco Shops, of course, and the limited edition 2015, the new Broadleaf, which will be coming out, hopefully shipping next week, and the new special edition 2018, which will be released at a future date. Great cigars. Rainier is a tremendous individual. And Rainier, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Appreciate you joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely my pleasure. And so everyone out there, we really appreciate all your likes, shares, comments. Keep on tuning in. We've got some great shows coming up. I'm actually going to be doing a drawing this week. I've got a couple of contest winners to announce. We'll talk about that later this week. So really excited about our upcoming episodes, including next week. We'll be doing a special edition of Los Fumar Takes. We'll be breaking off from cigars. We'll be talking NFL preview. So we'll be talking about Rainier and Mai's Packers. Go Pack, go. Fantastic. Really excited for that. So stay tuned on that and our upcoming schedule. We got some fantastic takes coming your way. So as always, from live from the Casa Cueva studios of Euless, Texas, this was our 43rd take. Rainier Lorenzo of HVC Cigars joined me tonight, and it was a fantastic take. So rewind it, watch it again, or rewind it and watch it for the first time. I really appreciate you as always. I'm Bear Duplessis. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.